The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
On the line with Tammy Heim with Christian Leadership Alliance, and we are so excited to have a partnership with this group that is coming to Orlando. We're so excited to be a part of that. Our own Brittany Parks will be there for that event, and I have on the line the leader. It's Tammy Heim. Welcome, Tammy.
Hi, Mike. It's so good to be with you this morning.
I understand now you're talking to me from Nashville, good old Music City, USA, and we're so glad to have people from Tennessee. I love your state. I love everything about it. I've been in Nashville several times. I've been privileged to record some music in Nashville back in the days.
Well, there you go.
So, and awesome. Oh my word, those were some fun memories. And who doesn't love going down to Music Row and listening to some music down there live? There's just nothing like it.
Yeah, we've been here since 2005, and it is definitely home for us. We love it here.
Well, it is a beautiful area, and you should, and congratulations on that locale. You know, Tammy, you're leading the Outcomes Conference in Orlando coming up in June, and this is no small thing. I looked over the roster of people who you've got coming to this meeting in Orlando, and it is pretty significant. How did this all begin? Tell me about it.
Well, actually, we are celebrating our 45th year as an alliance. So back in March of 1976, there was a group of 20 leaders within some of the most predominant ministries at the time that were coming together. And it started with a group of CFOs. And at that time, there was this sense that there was more things that needed to be done in terms of reporting and transparency, because that was a time when a lot of leaders, that was back in the time of Jim Baker, mm-hmm. where ministries were, you know, getting a bad rap. People were saying that they didn't have the right kinds of standards and things. So it compelled a group of 20 CFOs to come together to invest in each other and also to talk about their overall reporting structure and how they were communicating the impact of the ministry. And it was really a catalytic moment that was inspired by Ted Engstrom, who was the CEO of World Vision International at the time.
He felt
that leaders needed to come together. And that's where it really began. And then through the years, we began to focus on more disciplines, not just financial. And today we focus on the 8 disciplines that are really essential for stewarding well a ministry. And when we meet every year, it is leaders coming together. They leave their egos and their logos at the door, and they come in. And they really sit around and say, what is it that God's been doing in our ministry, and what are we learning, and how can we invest that back into other ministries so that together we can have a greater kingdom impact?
You know, you talk about leaving your egos and the logos. That's well said. I've never heard that expression. That's well said, because we have seen the church maybe survive. That's what I'm praying. The kind of a time where egos were front and center, and almost a superstar mentality was out there on Christian TV and sadly also on some radio programs as well. And this has not worked. It doesn't work. Not in the faith. It doesn't work in the church. And it produces kind of a, I guess you could say, a stereotype that the mainstream media has always depicted Christians as being just a little, a half bubble off center there. And it's sad that that is the way that we have kind of shot ourselves in our own foot, haven't we?
Well, I think we have a great opportunity right now, especially as we're seeing so many, you know, shifts even here in our own country, that this is a time for the church to be united, to stand on the things that we do believe in, and to set a standard of excellence. And really, that's the heart of Christian Leadership Alliance. We want people to see the work that we're doing and knowing that we're doing it with the highest level of integrity, that that's part of our witness. And we know that if we steward well the resources that God has given us, whether it's the people or it's the funding, that positions us so that we can just reach more people. I mean, I often think of Christian Leadership Alliance, that the members that are in there, I mean, they are all about accelerating the second coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to meet human needs, and then they want to be able to present the hope of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that unites us. And if you think about it, that was the uniting thing that Jesus had for us before he ascended into heaven, you know, that we might go and share the gospel, that we would go to the ends of the earth, and that we would teach people the things that he had taught us, and that we would have confidence to know that he would be with us always. So that is a huge unifying factor for Christian Leadership Alliance. And we try to stay on point with the reason why we're doing the things that we're doing, really ties back to that commission.
It's a wonderful commission that God has given us. And it sounds like you guys are doing a really great job of following the real heart and the purpose, the motivation behind all of those directives that God's given you to do. The Christian Leadership Alliance will sponsor the Outcomes Conference in Orlando, June 15th through 17th. The theme is Thrive. We're going to talk more of the details about the conference itself and what you guys hope to see happen when you are gathered here in our beautiful Sunshine State. Before that, tell us a little bit about you, how you got to be where you are.
Well, I am, you know, I've had a remarkable faith journey. Actually, in June, when we are there, I'll be celebrating, you know, 42 years of following Jesus.
Oh, wonderful.
I grew up in a family that felt, a mother and father who felt that because of some early mistakes that they were beyond the grace of God. And so I had a grandmother who wanted to make sure that I was grounded in the faith. And so she made sure that, you know, I had a Christian education and I grew up in that faith. And then I was very determined, very young, that I wanted to go to college. And that was something that had never happened in my family. No one had ever gone on to college. And so I felt like that there was this drive that God had put into my mind and heart when I was very young. And so when I graduated from high school, I went to Purdue University. I think we share a Hoosier bond.
We
right,
do. I've got that down to talk about.
Yes, yes. And so I went to Purdue University and I was very focused. I kind of knew what I wanted to do since I was 7 years old. I just stayed on point with that. But then the day after I graduated from college, I had spent about 45 days on campus, just really reflecting on life. I was faithful in my faith and what I knew to do. So I was raised in a Catholic faith. And so I attended Mass every morning when I was in college. And I had just received this amazing offer. I went in to pray, and I felt like God wasn't listening. And for some reason, I got up and I went to the bookstore and bought a Bible. And so for the last 45 days, I was immersed in God's Word. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit was wooing me. So the day after I graduated, I got up and I went to my brother, who was a believer, and I said, I don't know, but I just don't want to live another day of my life without Jesus Christ in control in it. And Mike, that changed everything. I mean, God rewrote the text of my life as I opened my heart to him.
Mm.
And the plans that I had coming right out of college kind of got erased, and God had new ones. Now, I thought I was ready. And that first faith, first love, I was like, okay, Lord, send me to Africa. Where do you want me to go? I'm ready. You know, my life is yours. But he didn't do that. He actually sent me on a path that he had been training and equipping me for long before this moment in time. And so I went in with the approach and mindset that business was my ministry. So I spent many years working in for-profit industries. I was in the retail industry for many, many years. I went into the publishing industry. I was in the web tech industry. And then all of those experiences God used back in 2012 when he opened the door to Christian Leadership Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my life, I'd been in boot camp, and we always feel that way, right? When we look back and we see God's hand on our life, to take everything that I had learned about leadership and organizations and business so that I could step into this role and provide an environment where leaders could convene and they could exchange their wisdom and they could become more proficient and effective in their stewardship of the ministries that God had called them to.
You know, we are blessed here, and we're blessed in Orlando to have a very strong Christian chamber that's really aiming at exactly what you're talking about, which would be marketplace ministry. And that's exactly what God was calling. And isn't it exciting? I agree with you, Tammy. When you look back in your life and you see what we thought were just everyday things happening, you can see that it was actually God guiding you and leading you, because you worked in the business world with big department stores like Lazarus and Thomas Nelson Publishers. I mean, you've had some pretty big places that God was putting you into, honing skills that would one day serve just as you're doing right now.
Well, and that heart that I had, I mean, God knows the desires. So at the point of my salvation, you know, I was like, Lord, send me anywhere. And now we live in a time when technology makes things possible. And even in the midst of this pandemic, God opened a door that we could train and equip leaders in 40 different countries. Mm-hmm. And in those countries, Mike, 20% of them had a Christian population less than 5%. And, you know, they are eager because as they come to faith in other countries, they don't put it in a different department. I mean, they want to live fully and wholly into their faith. And so we were able to provide them ways that they could steward their businesses and their ministries in those other countries based on biblical principle. And I was so amazed as we went through that, because it was truly God's hand on making that possible. And just seeing that play out, that there really is, there's ministry with good business, and then there's the ministry of business.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes down to our faithful stewardship with the things that God has given us so that they can return glory to Him.
Isn't it exciting when you look back now and you realize that that 45-day period, I think you said it was, that you were in the Word, that is what drew you. And I just love the fact when I hear people tell me stories of their testimony in their life, that it was not so much what anybody said, but it was the Word of God which turned the corner in their heart. That is a powerful testimony to how the Word is alive and effective. And even though you'd been raised a certain way to make you believe a certain set of beliefs, it's the Word of God that really pointed your future.
And I think all those things are foundational. So even in that faith, I learned to love the image and the idea of God.
Mm-hmm.
What I was missing was the relationship with God, and that He really had an intimate place for me to help accomplish His purpose.
That's a wonderful story.
So all of those things feed into that. You know, I think there's always that time when God reveals Himself to us. But I know that I had people praying for me. I had people investing in me. That it wasn't just this single moment in time, but it was a series of events. And that God knew that I needed her to be following me at the point she was going to make a huge career decision. And I wanted to rewrite the script of her life before she began that.
That's a wonderful way to put it. I am so grateful. We look back and we see the unseen hand of God. That was the name of a song, Southern gospel song back in the day that really meant a lot to me. The unseen hand of God, which we don't and sometimes are not aware of at all in the moment, but we can look back on it and realize that God was leading you and guiding you. Now, I've got to ask a question about Purdue. What drew you to Purdue?
Well, you know, it was, again, I was breaking the mold in just even thinking and considering going to college. And I knew that I wanted to go into the retail industry and business. And so when I was doing my due diligence and looking at different universities, Purdue had the most amazing intern program.
Mm-hmm.
That if you followed through on that, and they made it sound extremely challenging, you know, like you had to be at a certain level in the class, and you know, it was this boot camp experience. And then, you know, the people that go through this experience just have amazing outcomes. And I said, you know, that's really what I want to do. And it just so happened that I was working in retail. I got my first job at 16 in retail because I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I could actually go to Purdue, come home on the weekends, continue in my job to help fund my education, and then be learning practical skills as I was learning the theory at school. So I knew that, I just knew that was it. In fact, I was so confident, I didn't even apply to another college.
Oh, that's great. You know, I grew up in Evansville. I grew up south of there. And of course, Purdue is the home of the Boilermakers, the great basketball team that perennially, they're right there in it. But I don't know if when you were there, if you would have ever heard the name Bob Ford mentioned. He was a legend in Purdue basketball back years ago in the 70s. And he's still a broadcaster, as I understand it, up there now. He played some pro ball and went into broadcasting. But he was a neighbor of mine growing up, a dynamic basketball player. Yeah, so Bob.
So he was originally from Evansville?
Yeah, he lived about three houses away from me. And he grew up literally playing basketball in my backyard. My dad had put up a hoop and all of the neighborhood kids were over. And, you know, all of us in that day in Indiana had hoop dreams. And we all thought we were going to be doing this for a living. And he was one. He would take on three of us and could beat us all without even thinking about it. He was so good. And he was head and shoulders taller than everybody. And he led our high school basketball team to the championship in 1967. And that was really great. So if you've seen the movie Hoosiers, it would have almost been like Bob's life story. It was amazing. But he was a Boilermaker, and I've always loved Purdue because of that. And it's so great to have you here. Tammy is the CEO of Christian Leadership Alliance, and they have a Mondo event coming up in Orlando in June. And we're going to be privileged to have a representative from the Shepherd there. And we're going to learn more about the conference itself coming up in a moment when we return from this break with Tammy Heim, the CEO of Christian Leadership Alliance. We'll be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
I am on the line today with Tammy Heim. She is the CEO of Christian Leadership Alliance, and they are the group that is putting on the Outcomes Conference in Orlando that's coming up in June. And the theme to this thing is Thrive 2020. We all thought going into it, you know, I was like many people, I'm sure, using the word 2020, thinking God's going to give us 2020 vision. And instead, it was a pandemic that broke out, and it's left us all in need of thriving. Isn't that the truth?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The theme for our conference in 2020 was transform. And God certainly did a lot of transforming in this year. I mean, I just, you know, we pray over those themes and what God has for us. And early in October of 2019, we knew that this conference would be Thrive. And little did we know that it would be, you know, Lord willing, on the other side of this pandemic. And the lessons that we learned in 2020 is that thriving in God does not depend on our situation and our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see that we saw some of the most extraordinary moves of God through the Alliance and what he made possible in that time. And in fact, when we come to the end of ourselves, you know, God really does take over and take control. And so there were things that happened and that we were able to, you know, accomplish by God's hand that were really ordained in his time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as we come together, and again, we praise God that we're going to be in beautiful Orlando, Florida, that we're going to be at this incredible resort and people can come. And we've designed the program so that we've allowed evenings to be free so that people can just enjoy one another. We know that's very important to the experience. And that they can have this sense of thriving.
Now,
but really, it's more than, it's really regardless of our situation. It's how do we really have life abundantly because of who Jesus is.
And that was a promise from the Word of God that we would have life and have it more abundantly. I love one of the kind of the subtitles, if you will, that you've got on your website where it says, every Christian leader thriving. Not just one, not a few, but every one of them. And I believe that's God's will that in Him, now sometimes that looks different than what we think it would look like. But in Him, we can thrive. Every leader can be doing what God wants them to do if we keep our ear to His voice.
And it's interesting you would say that. That is actually the vision of Christian Leadership Alliance, is to see every Christian leader thriving and what they're called to do. And then our mission is to equip and unite leaders called to transform the world for Christ, which in many ways is the essence of the Great Commission, which we just talked about there. But you know, how do we pursue that mission and do it in a way where we're thriving in the fullness of God as we walk through it? And it's, and again, we go back to Scripture. And I love that we've been going back to Scripture a lot in this conversation, Mike, but it's never easy. The assignments are never easy. The path is, you know, is often complicated. And but we see heroes within Scripture teaching us and demonstrating how it is possible to overcome many things if we keep our eyes and affection on God. So that's so true even today. Even today, we have to know who we are and whose we are, and then walk with confidence and humility in that, again, to accomplish His purpose and our place in it.
You know, I found in my own life, and I'm sure this would be true for you as well, that when things are just going great and everything is perfect, it seems, on the outside, and we can get comfortable. I mean, Christians just don't ever really grow if things are just going great. It's always when we're in some sort of struggle or trial, that's when we grow. That's when we can really thrive in God. Now, we don't recognize that that growth is happening in the same way maybe as we will later on. There have been a lot of really great things that's happened to us all because of COVID, but we just didn't see it at the time. But, you know, I find that one of the biggest temptations to successfully living for the Lord is prosperity, when things are just great and you get comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. We get comfortable, and then somehow we think that we own it, and we are the ones that are making things happen. So there's just a real fine line, I think, especially, you know, in the heart of Christian leaders, is just to understand God's control, our part in it, and that we just need to be faithful in faith to do the things that He is guiding us to do, and know that ultimately He is always responsible for the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Now, this conference that you've got coming, you have some names that are very well known, names like Johnny Erickson Tada and also David Green from Hobby Lobby.
Johnny and Friends have been a member of Christian Leadership Alliance for decades. And so they know well the training and the equipping that we provide, and they send many of their leaders through our programs. So they've witnessed the benefit of being part of this. And then I think because we have such a different feeling, so for David Green and Bill High to be there and just to share, is they want to invest what they know to be true to help Christian ministries be more successful. Again, the DNA is so different at the Alliance than what you might find at other kinds of Christian conferences, that it really is about leaders investing in leaders. And the men and the women that take our stage come because they really do want to make that kind of an investment. So Edgar Sandoval, you know, he's the president of World Vision, and they've been members for a very long time. And our attendees, you can get a lot of great speakers, right, Mike? I mean, there's some amazing speakers that are out there. But there's something that happens when a leader takes the stage and you know that they get what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if if there's nonprofits or there's people that are working in, you know, Christian education, and they see people take the stage and they can share their stories, because maybe they're just a little bit farther down the way and can turn around and be the hand to bring other people along, that's what inspires. And again, it's not a critical thing by any means, but sometimes when it's just an inspirational speaker, they've not experienced what people that are sitting in the chairs have experienced. Mm-hmm. So I think about Johnny and her journey, and we talk about thriving. And I think she's such a beautiful example of someone who has just overcome obstacle upon obstacle. And I'm sure maybe you know or don't know, I mean, she even had COVID.
So no, I had not heard that.
From cancer,
then
had COVID. And in fact, Johnny even at one time worked on a Bible project on suffering. You know, so to have her voice and for her presence to be part of this, no one will understand it. You know, there's few that understand it the way that she does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what does it mean to have constant faith in God? So. We're always thrilled about those that take our main stage, but really we're educationally heavy. I mean, we have 77 workshops that we're going to produce in 3 days. We have 15 full-day intensives. We have a CEO forum. We have a Women in Christian Leadership forum. And the whole event is organized in 8 different tracks, and each track represents a discipline that's necessary to steward a ministry well. And so people would be spending a lot of time learning practical things that when they go back to wherever God has them and they put it to work, when they become doers of what they've heard, it could have a significant transforming impact on their ministry.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's so exciting to look over the list and realize that a lot of these people are doing exactly what you're saying. They are living the life. They are working in obedience to the Lord in the marketplace. And, you know, that's where I love this picture. We used to do the little thing with the folding of the hands, and here's the church, and here's the steeple with the pointer fingers pointed up in the air, and then you turn your hands upside down and open the doors, and here are all the people. And you know, we learned a long time ago that on Monday morning, the church is not over. It wasn't over at 12 noon on Sunday. The church just went home. And on Monday morning, the church got up and went to work. And Monday night, the church went to Publix or some other store. And that's what the way we're to live. We're to live our lives being the people of God. And that's what it sounds like that this Outcomes Conference is really aimed at doing. It's really teaching people to thrive in their lives. And that's 24/7.
Yes, and to do the things that they've been called to do with excellence, as unto the Lord, and to do those things knowing and having a confidence that it's based and aligned with God's word and his design for how we're to work. I mean, you know what I love about work is work was an assignment before the fall.
That's right.
Right? And so, you know, work is our worship, and even if we're serving in ministries and maybe we're not on the front line, you know, meeting someone right in that moment, we still have to administrate the organization. There's so many pieces that go into ministry, and that work is ministry. So it's an exciting time, I would say. You know, there's lots of professional development. There's lots of collaboration and coordination. In fact, sometimes say the elevator conversations can be the richest. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're having that casual conversation and you know that. And then inspiration and encouragement is a must, because we need these opportunities where we can spur each other on to do the good works. And then the other thing about Christian Leadership Alliance is the members don't just want to be great leaders or managers. They want to lead like Jesus. They want to follow his pattern of influencing the thinking, behavior, and the development of other people. And I love that too. I mean, that we get to be around people that say, I want to follow the leader and how he led.
And what an example he gave us. And, you know, I think about that. It's become so real to me this year, more so than ever, because there was a time, I have to confess, there was a time in my young years that I just couldn't quite understand, you know, why the Lord chose when he came, the time that he came back when there wasn't technology. And I was going through that stage of saying, like, Lord, I just don't understand it. Why wouldn't you have come when we had the internet? Why wouldn't you come when there was television? But what the Lord knew, it was so crazy that I thought that, because the way that the Lord ministered is still the most effective way that we can see any ministry happen in this day and age. And it's not all about broadcasting. It's not about television. It's about living our lives one-to-one and being disciplers of people and telling them the good news that has changed our lives. And that's what these Marketplace Ministry speakers are going to be doing in all of your sessions at Outcomes.
Yes, I mean, they're going to be pulling on what they know as experts in the area, because some of the faculty serve as consultants. So the good thing about a consultant is they see across many. So they can see what's working and not working, and then they can easily extract the best practice. And then there's the practitioner who says, okay, I'm like doing this job, and this is the path we went on. And today I'm going to show you my scars and my wounds. And I'm going to tell you what worked really well. And I'm going to tell you where we made a mistake. And my prayer for you is that you don't repeat those mistakes, but that you take what's good and build on it. And so I love that there is that kind of connection between, you know, the faculty and, you know, those that attend the conference. I'm grateful for those that feel that they're called into that faculty role where they're actually discipling others to bring them along.
That is something that we're called to do. Yes.
Yeah. It's the part of belonging to the Alliance and belonging to the body of Christ.
Do you have a favorite or maybe a most anticipated speaker that's coming to Outcomes this year?
Well, here's the thing is I'm one of those people that every year, and this will be my, this will be my 10th conference, is that I always feel like they're always just there for me. And for some reason, when I sit there, God seems to brand a message on my heart. And so I literally sit up full of anticipation for every presentation. I mean, I go looking for what God wants me to hear when I'm at that event. So I'm always excited. And the other thing, Mike, is as we select the speakers for an upcoming conference, we pray over them all year. And I think you probably know that when you begin to pray for someone, you have great admiration and affection for them. And sometimes I have to watch myself because I don't know that they've been praying for me all year. And so when I see them, there is such a joy because I've, you know, been beholding them before the Father. And God honors that. And so I really can say, I can't wait to hear from every one of them.
Well, it's going to be a great lineup that will take place at the Outcomes Conference. The website is outcomesconference.org. And it's not too late for people to take part. Again, you guys are coming to what we feel. We're kind of prejudiced down here, but we feel that our area is the most exciting area around. Orlando is indeed beautiful, accommodating, and we have all of those wonderful resources for folks to really enjoy and maybe even add on a few little days extra on either side of the conference to have some family time. That's not a bad idea either.
No, and in fact, the hotel, we've been able to have the conference rates for the hotel for the 3 days before and the 3 days after exactly for that. So we're encouraging leaders to come early or stay later and just soak in the beauty that's there. And I will say, because, you know, we've done this conference in many, many places throughout the country, the Hyatt Grand Cypress, their newer conference center, as the it's a wing in the hotel, it someone knew exactly what they were doing when they designed that for an event like this. I'm really so impressed, and I'm also impressed with the Hyatt and their care and their standards and all of the precautions that'll be in place to ensure that everyone that comes will know that they are in the safest environment possible.
Well, we wish you the best. I know you have a meeting to go to, but I am so grateful we've had this time together, Tammy. And thank you. It's not every day that I get to talk to the CEO of a major conference like this, but it is fun to get to talk with you and to hear your story. And go Hoosiers, go Purdue.
Yes.
That's awesome. I like that too. And when you're here in Orlando, if there's any, which I'm doubtful there will be, but if you're free, we'd love to have you come back up to the studios and maybe we can record another segment together.
That would be lovely. And thanks for being part of this. Again, we're just really looking forward to what God's going to do in Orlando. And every day we say, thank you, Lord, that we just somehow get to be part of it.
That's awesome. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us here on this segment of Afternoons with Mike and Friends. We'll be back in a moment. Been privileged to spend this time with Tammy Heim, CEO of the Outcomes Conference with Christian Leadership Alliance. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
On the line with Don Schenk. He's director of Tide Global Ministry, and that's an exciting ministry that does outreach, really, to people around the world. Don, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, this is a first time I've ever talked with anyone from the Tide. How did you get the name? There has to be a story behind it.
Well, there is. Back in 1946, when the ministry started, it was a local minister in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, started a radio program, doing it live from the local station. And one of the first songs that they played was When the Gospel Tide Comes Rolling In.
I know.
And just the words of the song and talk about salvation through Jesus. And he decided right then and there that it was going to be the Gospel Tide Broadcasting Association. And we go by the Tide for short, but that the mouthful name is it was the Gospel Tide Hour.
You know, I think we are tied in, pardon the pun, in our mentality. Yeah. That word is so often immediately bringing up this box of detergent. But, you mm-hmm. know, we Christians have sung about tidings of joy our entire mm-hmm. life. And we just don't realize that when you take the root word, that's what it means. Mm-hmm. It is bringing it on, the gospel. Boy, what an exciting thing. Now, one of the things that the Tide is all about is, and you guys are clearly a group that not only shares the gospel, but you do it in a way that is a little bit unique. And the headline of the topic for today's talk is, I can say this honestly for my friends, this is the most unique and I think hilarious headline we've ever done. It says, the new year is bringing a new face to ministry, and it is a hairy one. So that is great. I love that headline. So tell us what that means.
What that means is we have invited men specifically to engage with us in getting the gospel around the world. We partner with different groups in different countries to help them produce radio programs in their own language for their own people, a very culturally relevant method of doing it. One of their biggest challenges is finances for airtime to get those radio programs out to their people. So we have invited men here in North America to accept the challenge. It's a year beard challenge. So to raise or to grow their beards for a year and to use that as a conversation starter and attention getter. Now, we do have shorter time commitments. For those who don't want to do the whole year, you can do 6 months, 3 months, even No Shave November. But what it's tied to is that people see that difference and they see that the beard, and they'll ask, hey, what's with the beard? And immediately the response is, I'm growing my beard to help people around the world hear the gospel.
Mm.
Would you be willing to sponsor me in this? So it raises awareness for the need. It shines a spotlight on how the Tide Ministry is helping to meet that need, and it raises funds to help get the gospel out there.
And it covers up a lot of faces in the process.
It certainly does.
Oh, man. Now, you were telling me before we began this talk that you had grown a beard yourself, but it wasn't really, let's just say, your wife's favorite look for you. Would that be right?
No, it wasn't, because what we do, we allow people, you can go for the wild and free, or you can go for the trimmed and tidy look.
The wild, this is getting better by the moment. I love it.
And I actually decided, and it was meaningful to me. I decided to do it as a Nazirite vow.
Oh, is that right? Now that's getting some serious deep part of the Old Testament now.
And
the New Testament.
I love grapes and I love raisins. And I had to give, those are things that I had to give up. But I also had to, with it being a Nazirite vow, I could not trim or do anything.
Oh, man.
You
were looking a little woolly, all right.
By May, I was looking, I'll admit, when I look back at the pictures, I did look a bit rough.
Yeah.
My wife didn't like, she didn't even like, I mentioned trimming. No, it had to go. And she and her friends, what we do have, each person sets a goal. Now we have, if you do the year beard, we ask you, would you try to raise $1,000 for the year? Now some have voluntarily upped their goal. We have one participant this year. He is committed. He said he's going to raise $10,000. But if you're doing the standard $1,000 for the year, there is a buyout. Some call it the bailout. if you exceed that and raise up to $1,200, you can shave. And
wow.
So my wife and her friends, who all agreed that it was not a good look for me, they all pooled their resources and they bought me out. So I saved in May, and our wedding anniversary is in May. So that was my wife's wedding anniversary present that year, with to see a clean shaven face that she loves.
Oh, this is so great. I can think of taking this conversation so many different directions, but it's so wonderful, but I love it. And you know, I'm looking down at some of the amounts of money that groups have raised. It goes up into the 20,000. There's one that raised more than $27,000.
Yeah, that was In 2019, it actually ended up with just over 28,000.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're hoping to exceed that this year. And it's, you know, men find it very meaningful to be able to find a way. Oftentimes, there are people, you know, our participants range. We have a college football, or is he high school, football kicker. We have a vacuum cleaner, repairman. We have a pastor, we have financial advisors, we have a whole range of people.
Mm-hmm.
And often they're asking, you know, men are often asking themselves, what can I do to help share the gospel? And here's something that men can do. They can just put down their razor and they're making an impact for the kingdom.
That is so great. And I pray that many will do that. I'm just, again, looking at the release, the news release that I was given on your efforts here, and there's one person that wrote this that says, your beard is a whole new way for everyday men to live out their faith, and now get this, and grow their own neck scarf. I wouldn't have thought of a beard as that, but that's a unique way to put it, my friend.
And we get together with these men. We host a monthly Zoom call where any of them that are available during that time can join on. And when we've had some of them share how it has kind of pushed them a little bit beyond their comfort zone, but it's made them bold enough to talk about their faith.
You know, some people buy shirts for that, and other people may have a bumper sticker on their automobile. But what you're describing is really a complete legitimate idea, because sometimes there needs to be a Kickstarter to a conversation. And there is no greater conversation that we can plan for or build something into our life that would be a bit of a Kickstarter than the gospel of Jesus, to be able to have an open door into someone to share that good news of Jesus with them.
Right. And, you know, the scripture says, always be prepared to give an answer for the faith that you have. You know, but who's going to ask the question, and how do you get them to ask the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is one way for men to be growing a beard. And somebody says, hey, like I mentioned earlier, what's with the beard? Or, hey, that's a unique beard. Or that's really, by the end of the year, you should see some of these guys. There are some really impressive beards.
Well, I would imagine some of them would look like the Duck Dynasty guys, and other guys, maybe the wild man from Borneo. I'm not sure that says some people would probably fit into that category that you described a moment ago, where they would look pretty rough. And I would think, yeah, that would be me. I would think if I didn't shave or groom for an entire year, I just have the feeling that some of the hair, especially as you get older, Don, it doesn't grow in that nice Grizzly Adams fashion. I'm just going to be real nice and say it that way.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, this is great. And I wish you guys the very best with this campaign. And it sounds like it's a lot of fun. And again, whoever wrote all of your material, there's some serious sense of humor that is going out there. I love it that they refer to those taking part as the follically faithful. That's just wonderful. That is great.
Yeah, and we are grateful for all the men that are participating, and any other men that would, if somebody's listening to this and they say, hey, I'd like to get in on that, you know, they could just go to yearbeard.org. And, you know, just sign up for 6 months or 3 months, whatever. Mm-hmm.
And that might be just the impetus that a lot of them need to try to grow some facial hair for the first time in their lives. And, hey, what a great cause in which to do it. You mentioned that the Tide is involved in getting radio ministry and the gospel over airwaves in these different countries. How many countries do you reach?
Currently, we're reaching, it's a little hard to put the exact number on it now because we're also on satellite. So we just started a program in the Arabic language that reaches the whole Middle East and North Africa. So there's multiple countries there. But basically, there are 9 specific countries that we know we have terrestrial radio presence in, on 3 continents, and 30 different languages that we're working in right now.
Mm. And the goal is to, in each one of these regions, to have a radio program that is presenting the gospel in the native tongue in that region.
Right. And then having also the boots on the ground, because we work with our partners then to develop discipleship procedures so that we're not just putting the word out there, but when somebody calls in or writes in and says, hey, I heard about Jesus, I want to know more, or, you know, I prayed with the pastor at the end of the radio program, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how to help people embrace this newfound faith and know how to live out their Christian life. So we do provide that. We do some leadership training. There's a variety of things that we have. We have correspondence courses. We have literature that we distribute. So it's bigger, but radio is like the first volley in there. That's the attention getter. For these men, that beard is the attention getter. You know, we're putting the word out there for people to hear and get exposed, and then providing the follow-up or the listener care that's needed.
The beautiful thing about radio is that you just never know. You never know who's listening. You never know where it's going. And, you know, God has time and time again used a radio signal where someone who might have been discouraged and just in that very moment needed a bit of encouragement, boom, Here comes a radio program in their ability to understand it, and it is what they need, and it can change a life forever.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing. Now, you mentioned the Year Beard. You said it was yearbeard.com. Is that right?
Yearbeard.org.
Yearbeard.org. And then the Tide is simply thetide.org as well. And people can become part of this global ministry that really is doing all that it can do to, just reach the world with the gospel. That's number one. And they're doing it through this fun, unique way, the Year Beard. And men, if you're listening and you wanted to give it a shot, this is a good time to grow a beard for the best of purposes. Don, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate this, Mike. It's been fun to talk with you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share what we're doing with the Tide Ministry and with the Year Beard.
That's very exciting, Don, and we'll be praying for you, and may all of those men out there who are listening who are not follically challenged jump in, take part with the Year Beard from the Tide. And that about does it for me today. Thank you so much for Tammy Heim being here, as well as Don Shank. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.